Clerk, let me know when we're ready, please.
I'm trying to stay out of her way. If I'm going to just go ahead and push me back or tell me to back up further.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to call the Commerce, Gaming, and Land Committee hearing back to order. The time is 10:30 a.m. Please, Mr. Sims, remember you're still under oath. Ms. Caitlin, could you please pull up for me page 514? Mr. Sims, I kind of want to go back a little bit to where you were talking about that you guys didn't, you know, see the expenses or approve any for CEO Big Horse. And I wanted to see if you could find, Trey, you might have to help him, on page 514. In those documents, please. Okay, thank you. So on this particular document, it looks like what we have learned, Mr. Sims, is that the credit card statement comes into accounting and then the accounting department generates a report for the card user. On this particular expense report, you did sign it up at the top right for Byron's expenses, and I'm just, it looks like you signed the email approving it, and I was just curious as to why you would sign or authorize the spending on this report, but not the other reports.
And I had an email that I approved it?
Yes, could you speak into the microphone? Yes, for whatever or your signature's on this email up at the top. And I was wanting you to explain why you chose to sign this expense report.
To be honest, I don't remember seeing this. I remember approving of his, of him getting in the clubs, the membership clubs, but not all these other expenses, but I guess.
Okay, well, I was just trying to.
I mean, I wouldn't have, well, of course, I got it signed, but I don't know.
Okay. Well, I would just, you know, hearing you when you said that you, the board as the chair at the time, that you did not typically approve his expenses, but yet this shows that you did approve this month's expenses, and I was just curious.
Well, I guess it shows that, but in reality, we only approved his membership. But I don't remember particularly seeing this document, but anyway, that's.
Okay. Also, in our discussion with the compliance folks yesterday, and the Mr. Mike McGuire with marketing, we talked a lot about sponsorships and comps and things of that nature. And some of the discussion that we received said that there were times that the executive officers and their family and friends were able to use our facilities. Is that the same with the board? Does the board, are they able to use the casino facilities for personal birthdays, things like that?
Well, we have to pay for it. I would say yes.
So if you, So if you were allowed to do so, was there a policy around that at all?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, was there, so if you were to have an event, did you ever have an event?
Birthday.
Okay, and so you had to pay for that?
Byron told me he would pay for that.
Okay. Does the board, if they hold an event, do they get maybe a tribal discount that's offered to, I think it's offered to everybody?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, thank you, sir. Congressman Keene?
Mr. Sims, you stated earlier that the board did make some mistakes. So I'm wondering, why has there been such a utter refusal to come work with us and also the Gaming Commission to kind of fix some of these problems? We're all on the same team.
Well, I can only speak for myself, but I think because of some of the compliances that were kind of strict rules were held to, you know, it's depending on what you wanted, we would try to do it unless it went into some part to where it might be not compliant for us against our rules.
As a board member for so long, did you ever think it was just really strange that you guys weren't even able to have your own legal counsel by law?
Yeah, that was strange. But the Congress did not give us a budget for it.
Thank you, sir.
Committee, any other questions for Mr. Sims? Congresswoman Lemon?
I appreciate your candor, Mr. Sims, and I appreciate ownership of the shortcomings that have been brought to light concerning our Gaming Enterprise Board and the roles that you had there. If you could go back and do this over, what would you change?
Well, there'd be a lot of things I'd change. The casino grew so quickly that a lot of things wasn't looked at. And on the board policies, we should have reviewed it more. At that time, we didn't have an attorney until just lately in the last couple of years, and he did review them. And so I think the word supervise, meaning that we supervise a CEO, I think that's getting down too much and as if we were there with him, because we're only getting things after the fact. And so I think there's things that the board needs to change in their policy so that we can do different things and be able to, for instance, the expenses. We just looked at our board policies. We didn't look so much as supervise because we knew we couldn't be there to supervise. But I think the board in the future will probably do some changes to where things like this could be taken care of.
Thank you, Mr. Sims. And follow up to that, so you have sat in these chambers as an elected official to our first Osage Congress in 2006, and you helped to formulate some of the legislation that we're speaking about today and to study about it. And in the past couple of years, this particular body has tried to amend some of the gaming laws that we have for our tribal entity and our tribal and the enterprise, and we've been met with resistance. And that's my opinion. I received a really nice veto message and concerning the legislation that would have changed the approval process and how the gaming annual plan is approved. And I just really feel that this body has had an eye toward trying to work together. And I feel like the work relationship between the two bodies, there is going to be natural tension at times, but I feel like it's been obstinate. Do you feel that Congress overreaches?
The board has thought that it was getting down toward micromanagement. Yes, I felt like we didn't work as well because we felt tension from you. And so we thought that, you know, we would hand over what we would, but anything that, you know, like when sometimes the Congress would get into different line items, and in my opinion, according to the Constitution, that the Congress just approves or disapproves our annual plan and doesn't go into the actual line items. Now, I understand you can ask questions and things like this, and of course, I think our CO did a very good job at explaining it. But in order for, like if you wanted us to change something, we would take that recommendation in, but more than likely when the casino and the board had worked something out, we felt like that's what we wanted to do. And so we felt like it was getting, that you were, how would you say, kind of tightening the range of where you want us to go with things. And of course, on our part, there were some resistance.
Thank you for that. And so, do you feel that we would be here today if you, as a former board member of the gaming board, do you feel that we would be here today if the conversations and the documents that had been requested were released over a year and a half ago?
I didn't feel like it should be declassified. I felt like that's hanging our dirty laundry out to the other entities. I certainly didn't help it in our expansion. And because I've had calls from different people in Missouri, and they don't look at us being stable now. And so it's something that I think maybe the chief can solve and clarify, because I feel like the things, the way they're going, it was going very good before. Did this need to happen? I think maybe we could have probably saw some more problems if we did it in executive session without having a hearing and just got down similar to this and really discussed things like that. And yes, the board and the casino had to change a lot of things. But I feel like since it is happening, I think it's a good thing, you know, because there's things that need to be changed. And like I said, I've made mistakes, and I don't deny that because either I did or didn't. That's all there is to it.
Thank you, Mr. Sams. I appreciate your candor again. And I respectfully disagree about our Missouri prospects. And the reason I do is because we are deliberately and cautiously working through this to ensure that this doesn't happen again, because this is a repeat of 2014 and 15. And this shows that we are, in my opinion, that we are extremely careful in looking on where our jurisdiction as Congress in this three-part government lies, and we are serious and focused on making sure that we have what we need in place and cleaning up our own messes that we have and finding solutions in a respectful and professional manner. So I disagree, because I believe that if the group that's lobbying against us up there, and we have lobbyists ourselves, of course, but I believe that we can put a good foot forward and say that we came to a solution and took care of our own business. But I do know that there are folks, possibly even sitting in this room, that are pandering to the lobbyists that are against us up there. And I hope that changes. Thank you.
I agree with your thoughts on that, but I kind of still hold my thoughts to the way I believe on that, because I think it is going to be a little bit of a tough time to get things back in order up there.
Thank you, Mr. Sims. Congressman Keenan, then Congressman Hamilton.
Mr. Sims, are you aware that we actually invited the board to come before we declassified these documents, and not one board member showed up? Only a legal counsel was there. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
So why, again, we wanted you to meet with you before we even did the declassification, which you said you wanted. Why did you guys still refuse?
I didn't go because I had to go to Wichita because of I had to get shots in my eyes. That's why I didn't go. Now, with the rest of the board, I can't talk for it.
And you mentioned micromanage earlier, but it sounds like the board needed more micromanagement. We have we have testimony now where there was virtually hardly any oversight over the casino executive expenditures. So, like you said, there have been changes made. That's a step in the right direction. I thank the board for that, but yeah, so, and there's still a lot of work to be done, but thank you again.
Congressman Hamilton.
As a former board chair, how was your relationship with the former CEO of Big Horse?
It was very good.
Very good.
We're real good friends, and I thought he did an outstanding job, and so I can't talk back. Of course, I don't want to talk bad about anybody, but I didn't know about the expenditures, but we had a good relationship, and I think he had a good relationship with the board.
Do you, why did he think the personal use of the credit card was okay?
I never did. I thought that he's following policy. I didn't, every place usually has a policy for something. So if he used a credit card, I wouldn't know what he was paying or what kind of policy he was following.
So in the 9 years as a board member, you never thought twice to look at a credit card policy?
I never did look at any transaction or policy in that aspect.
Committee, any other questions for Mr. Sims? Okay. Mr. Sims, if you could just stay here until you're released, because we may have questions later. And I appreciate your testimony. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, committee, our next witness is board member Julie Malone.
Good morning, Ms. Malone. If you could stay standing. Apologize. State your name, please. Ms. Malone, do you swear the testimony you are about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you, ma'am.
Good morning, Ms. Julie.
Good morning.
I'd like to go back to our original discussion that we had with Mr. Sims with regards to the bylaws. And to actually just your opinion, do you believe the CEO should be supervised by the chair of the gaming board, or is that because of your bylaws? Is that how you understand it?
That is how I understand it, yes. That mostly, I think we all had a hand in overseeing the CEO, but not every receipt. We helped with formulating direction, and that's about it.
Okay. Well, I think and again, I can't speak for the rest of the committee, we truly believe that the CEO was being supervised by the chair of the gaming board because of the bylaws. So we've learned something new today.
Well, he may have been more than I know.
Congresswoman Stabler, then Congressman Lemon.
Thank you, Chair. Ms. Malone. I want to go down this kind of the same line that I did before. Do you recall having conversation about the reimbursement to Mr. Big Horse and over $39,000?
What I do recall is, do we agree that he should have a membership in the Patriot Country Club? I would never have agreed to a reimbursement for prior charges myself. That was not a discussion.
That was not a discussion at all that you recall?
No.
Well, either during board time or outside of board time?
No.
So in some of the documentation we have, if you can go to page 19. Okay. And also look at page 20 while you're there. So what I'm going to ask is, if there was no discussion and there was no board action regarding this reimbursement, how did you get to a point where you had an offset of Mr. Big Horse paying back part of that credit card or part of that membership?
There was not a board discussion about an actual amount. That was negotiated, not with my participation.
At all?
We knew that there was going to be some kind of a reimbursement, but we needed to have it quantified before we could reach a number, and I'm not sure who negotiated that.
Okay. So do you recall reaching a number?
No.
Okay.
Now we had attorney's advice as we went, starting at the get-go, as soon as we discovered something we needed to investigate at
okay.
the very beginning.
Okay. All right. So do you recall ever seeing the spreadsheets?
Spreadsheets where?
I'm trying to remember what page that's on. I believe it's right before. I'm frozen. I can't do anything. There we go.
Like that one?
Uh-huh. Page 25 through 28.
Ms. Malone, could you make sure you speak into the microphone? They're not able to hear you.
Will do. Who created these? I don't.
If you look at the bottom right hand in the bottom corner,
ONGC?
There's a page. Mm-hmm. That's the page number.
That's who created.
No, that's not who created. Oh. That's the tag number that we have on the documents. So, no, my question is, have you ever seen those?
No. I mean, not until recently when you. Not until recently.
Okay. When have you, this 1,500-page document, did the board receive that?
I got mine last Friday.
Okay.
I had an old email address with an OWA account through the nation, and somehow emails are going there, and nobody's informed that I'm not getting them. And I think I'm probably on that list. So Friday, I received 1,500 plus pages.
Okay, so I, not to say that you saw the entire document, but did you look through the document?
Briefly.
Okay. And so the other discussion I had with Mr. Sims was over the policies. Have you read the policies?
Yes.
And so you're familiar with the credit card policy and with the country club policy?
Yes.
And the travel policy?
Yes.
And aware of what's required with a statement in preparing receipts?
Yes.
And the items that go on a receipt. So if you had seen receipts, you would have been able to tell if they were properly presented or not.
Correct. That's done internally in the enterprise. And my assumption was there was a check and balance in place prior to payment.
Okay. Well, the testimony we heard yesterday is it is not happening.
Well,
anywhere.
I'm listening too.
Okay.
I saw the same receipts you're looking at, 750 pages of them initially, and read every single page with a highlighter on questions. You know, we've addressed it since day one to go about changing with advice of legal counsel.
Okay. So when new policies or new six, new whichever one it is, come before you, did you read those documents before voting to approve them?
Yes. And we have our board secretary post them on the Friday prior to the meeting. That gives us an opportunity to study them. And I have made changes myself after it comes back. It goes from the enterprise to the commission, back to the enterprise, to the board, and we are then allowed to commentary.
Okay. All right.
And I've changed a couple there.
Okay. That's all I have at this time.
Okay, so the clerk is just wanting to remind you that when you pull away or turn.
I know. It's hard. I wish we had a.
We do too. Congresswoman Lemon, then Congressman Keene.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning again, Ms. Malone. Thank you again for being here. I'm going to start with just when were you appointed, your first appointment to the Osage Nation Gaming Enterprise Board?
2017, I believe. In my binder.
Okay, great. When you were appointed, were you giving any training or orientation on your responsibilities as a board member?
Mark, the chairperson, Sims, helped, kind of took me under his wing to show me ropes. On our FTP site, there is, and I read through some PowerPoint presentations that were given to the board previously. So I read through wondering about the structure. I mean, I've been on another board. I'm chairman of another board, but this I wanted to do correctly. But I would appreciate training, yeah.
On your other board, that you serve on, did you receive training, orientation, or even yearly training?
The old timers took me aside, and yes.
Okay.
Osage shareholders.
Yes. So, okay. Does that board have a set of bylaws?
We do. We're incorporated. Yes.
Okay. And were you given a copy or access to the Osage Nation Gaming Enterprise bylaws?
Yes, immediately. one of our attorneys made sure that I had, there were several pages of links to pertinent documents that apply, including the Osage Nation Constitution, Osage Nation laws. I know Mix Six, or Mix and Ticks, and I keep up with Six. I read them, even how to play video games. You know, there are Six pertaining to those. So,
thank you. So when you say our attorney, who are you?
Terry Mason Moore provided a really thorough list.
And she was your attorney?
She was the gaming enterprise attorney. The board has not ever had an attorney until Mr. Keene put the bill through, our own.
Okay, so.
Evidently we haven't needed one till now.
Did you also receive communications from any other lawyer while you were?
Yeah. Dean Luthy came aboard a little later. I'm not sure what year. And the two of them would actually work together. And when Governor Stitt and the compact issue came up, and so there were a lot of reasons why we needed help.
Thank you for that. So earlier you've heard the testimony today, and you said you've been listening in to some of the hearing, and the bylaws clearly state that the chair supervises. What does supervise mean to you?
It's a perspective, and a board doesn't shadow any. We hire and pay well our executive staff. And I think it was Tim Cook that said, you hire these people smarter than you, let them do their jobs. And so we rely on their reports to us to help run this successful casino business. It doesn't run on its own. It's, you know, we have a very important role, and so does the enterprise. So, and you, we all have a hand in this.
I don't think anyone would deny that we have a successful casino business. Mm-hmm. I would be absolutely shocked if anybody here said that you, if it hadn't been successful, yeah, and that we don't support the casino operations. I just want to make that very clear. In light of the reports that are sitting in front of you, in light of, you know, your perspective, mm-hmm, on what supervising means, do you feel it is at this point it is pertinent to possibly amend the Gaming Board bylaws, the Gaming Reform Act, the Gaming Commission, for us to have? I'll leave it there.
Absolutely. We have grown, and you know that from the nation, and your checks have grown, but we need to stay caught up with our infrastructure to accommodate the growth. And that's part of what we're doing now, is changing as this has come to light. There are a whole lot of other areas we need to address too. So
looking back, mm-hmm, over the course of the time that we're talking about, mm-hmm, we're talking in past tense, of course, 19, 20, and 21. In hindsight, were there red flags, Ms. Malone?
Red flags pertaining to this?
Yes, ma'am.
No, there were not. I was shocked. I was I'll leave it at that. I was shocked seeing some of the.
Was the board meeting that you were speaking about purchasing land in Avant not a red flag?
Not in Avant. It's above the hill. above. It's now purchased and they're building big mansions on it. It's a development now, but it was presented to us as a VIP retreat similar to Post Oak. And it would have been a beautiful up there. It's a, now it's a Vista Estates or something like that. It would have been a, I don't think anybody would have lost money on it had we not developed it. I didn't, we didn't know about the ranch between here and Bartlesville at that time either.
Thank you, Ms. Malone. How do you perceive the checks and balances that need to be in place with the CEO? How do we get there to ensure, if your perspective of supervision would not be checks and balances that the board would do with the CEO? Because currently, Mr. Steinke, I believe it was him, I could be wrong, it could have been Ms. Pearson, mentioned that as a Band-Aid temporary fix, mm-hmm. the expenses are being approved by the CFO for the CEO, which, in my opinion, is unacceptable because I haven't been informed if the CFO, if the CEO is his direct supervisor.
Yeah, I have not heard that arrangement.
And so it was spoken about here. And then the CEO would then be approving the expenses for the CFO.
That does occur.
Yes, but currently the Band-Aid that is applied for a temporary going forward, is what we were told, is that the CFO will be approving the CEO's expenses. Do you agree with that?
I think that would be a very important checkpoint in the process. The CFO is the one that actually dispenses the money. So I think that's an important place. What we're also doing is I'm looking at receipts, or two board members every month look at receipts on top of a spreadsheet of what the receipts pertain to. And we either, if the information isn't printed on those receipts that, you know, who, business reason, date, we don't approve it. And we're doing that. That was implemented by Chairman Mark Rivard, and we're continuing to this day to do that. That's our knee-jerk, we've got to stop this until we see what it is. And we see how big it is and what we need to do to fix it. So that's, I think the CFO would be a very good checkpoint. Patrick O'Brien, I think I listened to part of his testimony or his information. And he's been giving us written reports as well, the board. So we get it from several on every expense. I think it's all of the, or it's random. He chooses from the list of 25 or whatever it is, card holders now, about 10 of them, and tells us whether they're compliant or not. We don't pass judgments on whether those are too expensive or too, if they're in our budget. We don't really judge whether they're, I mean, I went a week all expense paid trip to the Broadmoor in Colorado Springs from AIG, horseback riding, tennis, whatever we wanted during the week. And that was a business expense. So there are times when a company sees that fitting to do that. So I'm not going to stand back and look at a spreadsheet and judge. I can't. I can ask questions.
So will you be asking about children's clothing being purchased or children's golf clubs being purchased?
We've been through quite a bit of exercise on that, yes.
Is it commonplace for children to come to business outings?
No. But I don't think that would be out of the question. if we were sponsoring a powwow or something in our showroom, or if we, you know, if we wanted to comp children for something, but that might happen.
In your role as a board member, do you feel purchasing the CEO's lunch and his family's lunch on a daily basis, or their all of their meals for several days, is that considered a business expense?
It seems that that's what has occurred. And no, that is not a business expense, just because there's a membership. I mean, no.
Did you have electronic access to the system that everyone talks about? Is it Sage? Am I saying that correctly? To review these?
No.
Who does have access that's on the board?
None of us. It's...
So then how are they being reviewed now?
The receipts?
Yes, ma'am.
Hard copies. And they've diminished greatly since this has all happened. Since day one, a year and a half ago.
I may have asked that question already. That's all I have for now. Thank you, Ms. Malone.
Yes. Yes.
Congressman Keene.
Thanks, Ms. Malone, for being here. So before the board made the change where you guys got the copies to look at these expenses, who did you think reviewed the CEO's expenses?
As in most check and balances in a casino and a corporation, it's usually an internal policy and procedure, a checks and balances within. Again, we... As Mark indicated, we have meetings in between, especially lately. Gee, I think I'm down to 50 cents an hour if you were to measure. But
so we're seeing the disconnect again where CFO Steinke said, well, the board had approved these.
Well, that's a verbal thing. We did not, obviously. It would be in our minutes if we approved them.
Yeah. But we're...
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're literally hearing contradictory statements. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Yeah. So, like I said, CFO Steinke saying we were just the processors. We didn't review because we have country club receipts, which I've stated a few days ago. They're clearly against the policy. He said, well, the board had already approved them when it got to us, and we just pushed them through. So now we have two board members on the record saying we never looked at them. Is that accurate?
If we had okayed that, it would have been in our minutes that we voted for it, and maybe somebody told him, maybe it was a third party. That's what I was thinking about it.
Yeah, I understand. And like I said, again, we have seen fixes, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So moving on, do you consider purchases with a company credit card as a private confidential matter?
Purchases with a company? No. It's a business that we run, and there should be oversight.
Okay.
But the board does not review every single item.
Okay, thank you.
Congresswoman Lemon, thank you again, Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Ms. Malone. I want to go back to a question that I forgot a while ago. You say now that the expenses, the CEO's expenses, are being given to you hard copy, and two people on the board are now reviewing those and signing off on each receipt.
That's correct.
And are you referencing the credit card policy with them when you're signing off on them?
The credit card policy, it really doesn't require the... Country Club policy is the one that requires who was there and all that, but we would require, they're changing things now to make it more descriptive, would require the names of, and most of the people are doing that already. So
we just had the CEO who wasn't doing that.
This is bringing to light a lot of things to a lot of us, and this testimony is very helpful for us as well, too.
I did
say pulling a lot together.
Yes, we're all going to learn something today.
Yeah.
So we have this temporary fix until a permanent fix can be put in place for the CEO's expenses being signed off on. Who initiated that? Was there a board member that said, hey, we've got some problems here. It's time that we need to dig in and use our and understand that we do supervise the CEO?
Once a flag went up that there was a situation at hand, I mean, there may be somebody else in the casino somewhere. I mean, we're over the whole body, and we want to make sure that these checks and balances are in place in the organization. Again, your question to me is,
who raised their hand first and said, we have a problem and we need to look into this, that you, to the best of your memory?
Yeah, I noticed on our check register that we do get every check that's written that there were some large payments. And I mentioned it to Mark. We were looking for something else to see if we had individual memberships or if the casino was a member with listed authority. We wanted to see that. That's how I even got into the checkbook register.
When you say Mark, there were two Marks on the board.
Mark Rivard.
Thank you. So Mr. Rivard raised a flag?
He's the one that started implemented the process where we approved the expenditures until we saw the extent of what we saw some flags.
When that temporary fix was put into place, did you receive resistance from your CEO?
I don't think he was involved in our, I don't think he was happy that we got the receipts that we requested that he did. But he didn't resist to me.
Did you require explanation from him?
We went into a meeting, executive, super executive.
Were you satisfied with the answers you received in that meeting?
So in executive session, I'm not to discuss. I can tell you how I might have felt, but I can't discuss what we talked about. And in part, yes.
In part, you were satisfied with the discussion that took place.
And it was revealing.
The receipt that's been, the communication that's been talked about frequently from Kyle Rivard saying that the $39,000 reimbursement for the Patriot Club was approved. Is this an example of the CEO being dishonest?
And that's a judgment. I don't know where that all, what the chain of command was on that. I'm viewing the same documents as you and making an opinion, my own opinion on things, and I don't know who was consulted on that. It wasn't me, I can say that. I would never have okayed a reimbursement for that many years expenses at a country club myself.
So we've had your testimony and we've had Mr. Sims' testimony, and then we also have had Mr. Steinke, and there's no board action. You've said there was no official board action. I gave the opportunity to say, was this discussed? And just, yes, let's go ahead and reimburse this. But no, if there is communication, we didn't receive it in this document. And so what I'm trying to get at is, it appears that this, I'm just going to say it. It appears that the CEO utilized his position
and spoke for the board without any official action and received over $39,000 through payroll.
It's hard to tell who spoke with Byron before all this, or if anybody, or if it was just, I can't judge whether it was made up or passed along. Yeah, I talked to everybody on the else on the board and it's okay. I don't know what went behind all that.
Is it safe to say that occurred at times? That he would say that the board approved it and people would just take his word for it?
I really don't know, because I don't know that it could have come from a CEO or a chairman of the board, or it could have come from somebody, but it wasn't from the board as a body or me involved. That's all I can really tell you.
That's okay. I understand. I do. I understand. I'm just trying to understand how we arrived there.
Yeah, I understand. I want to know as well.
And get clarity on that, mm-hmm. because the buyout for the contract mm-hmm. was decided on by the entire board and voted on. Is that correct?
The board did vote on it, yes.
Are you still satisfied with your vote on that contract buyout?
I am.
Thank you.
Congressman Hamilton.
You stated you don't remember any discussion about the reimbursement about the Patriot Golf Club. Do you remember any discussion about the membership to the Patriot Golf Club? Did the board direct Byron to pursue that?
I do recall. It was a conversation. It was not an official board motion. Did I think that the CEO should have a membership in the Patriot Country Club, Golf and Country Club? And I, yeah, CEOs, I worked for Harrah's. He had a golf tournament every year. So it raised the revenues of his business by doing so. So I felt that was good.
Okay. And since you've been on the board, you've been under a few chair leaderships, correct?
Pardon me?
You've been under a different leadership under the chair since you've been on the board?
Yes.
Sims, Rivard, and Hager?
Correct.
How would you describe the board activity under each leadership?
Under each one?
Yeah.
Again, I read all that I can that's posted for us. And I go to the meetings. I think my chair needs to go up.
Or just hold the microphone. You can just put the microphone in your lap.
Okay.
There. That might help too.
Okay, so the board chairman. So I try to educate myself with a lot of reading over a weekend prior to the meeting. I go in prepared. We have our subject brought up. There isn't a lot of, other than the meetings themselves and any special meetings, you know, and we'll have occasional phone calls, but, you know, I'm not, that's the way we operate.
Well, did you see a lot of, as Mr. Sims mentioned earlier, he took it upon himself to negotiate a contract with the CEO without board mm-hmm. approval or board action. Did you see a lot of the CEO utilizing the chair without board review or board action? Did that happen a lot during your tenure as a board member?
I couldn't tell you. It was demonstrated during our meetings, so I don't know.
And you mentioned earlier too, you just seen this 1500 page document just a few days ago?
I received it Friday in my email.
And you haven't seen it since before then?
The original documents we requested, I think it was 19 through 21. and it was only Byron, and it was only Country Club, I think some travel. We just wanted to know more about what was really going on, so and look, get the scope of the thing figured out, kind of look at it, and what do we have? It was a surprise.
Ms. Malone, was there any time that the board considered terminating Mr. Big Horse because of spending habits?
Yes, we did speak about it. Again, it's in executive session.
Okay. Can I?
That we had that.
I'm sure your lawyer will say, but was the discussion around the termination, it wasn't felt the same by all the board?
That's correct. Okay. I can't talk about.
Understood. I understand.
I know you do.
I'm just, sometimes I'm like, was that an executive session? Trey, you'll let me know.
Yeah.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you. If you could go back to that conversation, would you vote to terminate? Or allow resignation with a buyout?
I think we ascertained first. Yeah. Again, it's executive session.
In your opinion, if you could go back, would you choose to terminate?
That's a tough, at the moment. If I could change it now, knowing what I know, that's a tough question. There's no criminal activity that I... That's kind of, you're asking me to speculate, and it's really difficult at this juncture to.
I'm sorry that you feel that you can't say how you would do it if you could go back in hindsight, because I can tell you there is one vote as a Congress member that I do wish I could go back and change.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm really asking.
Yeah.
If I had time to go back, and I could go back in a time machine for that matter,
yeah.
I would change that vote. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm asking you, as just your own personal, with your moral compass,
yeah,
for the greater good of our Osage people.
Again, at that time in history, we were still ascertaining what was going on, what's the extent of this, and then put into place stop measures, you know, the signing off on expenses, and it dropped. So the risk to the Osage, protecting our assets, was number one right there. We didn't know the extent of it at that time. So I have to say I probably wouldn't change my vote just because of when that occurred.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah.
Congressman Kane.
Mrs. Malone.
Miss
Malone, under our Constitution, grounds for removal of board members, one category is malfeasance and willful neglect of duty. Would you say, as a board member, you were supposed to provide oversight to the CEO in these expenditures, yes or no?
Rephrase that question.
Under our Osage Constitution, board removal of board members, two categories are malfeasance, which is the definition is wrongdoing.
I know that.
You're a public official. Willful neglect of duty. Would you say, as a board member, one of your core functions was oversight of the casino CEO, yes or no? In regards to financial expenditures?
No.
So a casino, a bunch of money's coming in and a bunch of money's going out. That's basically what a casino is. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's the only business where you can spend something and not get nothing back. So you're stating on the record that the board, who Mr. Big Horse signed a contract with, you guys weren't in charge of oversight over his financial expenditures. Is that accurate?
Specifically credit card and specifically country club, because he is allowed to expend.
Well, yes, but we have it on record that he was violating policy for literally years. That's what I'm asking. Do you feel you took an oath to the Constitution just like me? Do you feel that your oversight was also applied to this realm of his behavior?
No.
Okay, thank you, ma'am.
Committee, any other questions? Congresswoman Lemon?
Ms. Malone, have you received any information from the Gaming Commission concerning your licensure?
Yes.
Thank you.
Committee, any other questions? If not, I'd like to offer you the opportunity to have any comment or closing remarks to the committee, if you have any.
I think that's fine.
Okay. Fine. All right. Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yes.
I just have to remind you to please stay in the building until you're released. Thank you. It's up to the committee. It's 11:30. And the next witness is Mr. Hager. Do you guys? It's up to the committee, whatever you want to do.
Motion to recess until 12:30.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Hearing none.
Where we were.
It's like hearing none on the opposition. The motion passes. Thank you, committee.
They just get I can't believe I fell for that again.